Joe Girdler is a pastor. A few years ago, in God's timing, he was asked to move into the superintendent's office in the great state of Kentucky out of his long-term pastorate in Versailles, Kentucky. He accepted that responsibility, but has continued to maintain what I consider to be a true pastor's heart. He is a friend to me, but also to Central Bible College and to all of our students who are here. I just want you to give a great CBC welcome. Would you stand with me and welcome Joe Girdler to the pulpit this morning, Superintendent of Kentucky.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. What a privilege to be here today. Dr. Denbo, thank you. Faculty, administrators, thank you. And to the CBC family, thank you. No matter where I go across the country, I still want you to know I mentioned it in Dr. Jaffe's class early this morning, but I just want you to know wherever I go in the nation, when they talk about institutions that are primarily at the top of the list, training missionaries, pastors, evangelists, and the church leaders of this generation and the next, CBC is always at the top of the list. I just want you to know. You're not here by accident. God has His hand upon your life. And so thank you again for your warm, warm welcome. My father was at Pearl Harbor. God bless our veterans. My grandfather was in World War I. My nephew serves. There's a real war going on. They shoot real bullets. This very week, not my topic, but the message that I have to bring to you today is out of Ezekiel chapter 37. If you have your Bibles, I will go there. And it's entitled, "The Hand of God is Upon You." But this very week, while you may not hear about it too often on Springfield Radio, there is an absolutely horrendous battle going on in Baghdad. We've lost 6 to 10 of our soldiers in the last 48 hours. So, the war's not over yet. God bless our veterans. Amen? The first slide, thank you for your help, Carrie. I just want to introduce you to my family so you know a little bit about who I am. I married the most beautiful woman in the world, and her name is Renee. She has the privilege of serving on the board here at CBC. Dr. Renee Girdler, she was merely a college student when I married her. I call her Renee. When she gets mean, she likes to remind me she's Dr. Girdler, and I say, "You are still just Renee." Honest story, I don't advise it for everyone. I met her in church. I got saved in college. And I saw her about 3 rows ahead a couple of months after I'd gotten saved. She didn't know me, had never seen me, nor did I know her. First time I saw her, I will not say God told me, I just told myself I'm going to marry that woman. And I did. It took me 3.5 years to get her to walk down the aisle. But I did marry that woman, and 25 years this year. And I have a beautiful daughter. Thank you. I have a beautiful daughter, Rachel, who is 15 and feels the call of God on her life. You may see her here someday soon. And my son is 19 and lives in Manhattan. And so God is so very, very good. The second slide, Carrie, is simply to remind you I am from the great state of Kentucky. Yes, we do wear shoes. I know that sitting here, you may not think it or know it, but I know it. Sitting here today are the leaders of the church who will transform America and the world in the next generation. Amen. I would like to ask you, despise not the day of small beginnings. You think you're merely a student. God has His hand upon your life. And when that hour comes, don't forget, if not coming to see me, you always have a friend, Facebook, Twitter, or josephgirdler.org. But please remember to pray over the state of Kentucky that God will pour out another revival like He did at Cane Ridge in the 1700s, or like he did at Asbury in the 1970s. He still wants to bring a revival to Middle America. And I ask you to remember to pray and think about Kentucky. The next slide, I just want to say thank you to the greatest leaders I know for this fellowship at the time in this place. Woo! Hey, all right. And if you would stand with me, I am going to Ezekiel chapter 37. I am reading from the NIV. I had a board member once tell me it was the nearly inspired version. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 1, reads like this, and you can merely read the paragraph I gave you, but I won't be reading that. I'll read the scripture. The hand of the Lord was upon me, quoting Isaiah 61, where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Ezekiel went there, and he began this passage with, "The hand of the Lord is upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley." You know the passage. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, only you know." Amen. Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life." You see, we think we're doing it. The bachelor's degrees, the master's degrees, the doctorate degrees, the educations, the experiences, the pastorates, the missionary work. We think really we're doing, but I want you to know God is the one who has his hand upon you. He is the one who has placed you here. He is the one that will take you where you're going to be, and he's the one that will breathe life into you. And then he says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." So verse 7, "I prophesied it as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together bone to bone. I looked, and tendons of flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was still no breath." And he says to me, verse 9, "Prophesy to the breath." Sometimes you can see God do a few little things, but you just don't see it just yet. So he said, "Prophesy to the breath. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people. I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves and brought you forth from them. I will put my spirit in you," verse 14, "and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land." And that is a word for somebody standing here today. He will bring you to life. He will put breath in you. And I promise you, you will stand in your own land someday with the breath and the anointing of God upon your life. And you'll know that it is not by accident that his hand has been upon you. Amen. Give an applause to the word of the Lord. You may be seated. His hand is upon your life. Less than 100 years ago, the Assemblies of God began in a little mission field in Hot Springs, Arkansas. 65 million people this year, they say that does not count China, communist nation, who does not allow Protestant numbers. They could count that. World missions leaders across town tell us that the Assemblies of God would double in our numbers overnight. 65 million this year in this only, the fellowship. I know there are many here among us that may not be a part of the Assemblies of God. I still do believe it is the greatest ship in the sea, though. 65 million, 1% of the entire world population now calls themselves Assemblies of God. hand of God was upon them. 2,100 Bible colleges in the Assemblies of God. 333,000 churches, 345,000 ministers, one new minister every 43 minutes. I'm sitting to some here today who very well may call my office or another office like mine somewhere in the months ahead and say, I feel the call of God upon my life. Would you help me with a covering so that I can go do what God's called me to do? I'm telling you, 43 minutes, every 43 minutes, a new minister in the Assemblies of God. One new church plant every 39 minutes in the Assemblies of God. 27,000 new born-again believers added to this fellowship in the last 10 years. That's 3 million a year, 57,000 a week, 8,500 a day, 342 an hour, 6 a minute, and one every 10 seconds added to the born again roll in this fellowship. The hand of God is upon them. One of my heroes was Martin Luther King Jr. In spite of what we may think about some political things throughout the years, there's a big picture and two sides to every story I've learned always in life. Actually, there's three, my side, your side, and God's side. But he is nonetheless, Martin Luther King Jr., always been one of my heroes. At 35 years old, he was the youngest man to ever receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Many know that he pastored the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Many do not know that he followed his father, who pastored the Ebenezer Baptist Church, and followed his grandfather, who pastored the Ebenezer Baptist Church, and he grew up as a little boy playing with trucks underneath the pews. I have to believe the hand of the Lord was upon him. At 39 years old, he was assassinated on the outside balcony of the Lorraine Motel in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, on April the 4th. 1968. One day previous, on April the 3rd, he had gone to Memphis, Tennessee for two sole purposes. He had gone to speak to black Pentecostals about the fact that the city's sanitation workers were not being treated fairly. And secondly, he went to give a speech. He said, I want to give a speech on the context of a dream, a vision, that I want to take America where it has never been before. I believe that, he says, the hand of God is upon me, and I want to take America to a place where someday character will prevail over color. On January the 20th, 2009, Barack Obama was inaugurated as the 44th President of the United States. He is my president. And Martin Luther King Jr. took America where it had never been before. I've stood in front of the Lincoln Memorial, as some of you have in Washington, D.C., right in front of Lincoln's statue. If you go out to the very edge of the steps, they don't have a large placard. It's very, very small. But if you'll look into, embedded in the concrete, you can place your feet on the very spot where Martin Luther King gave his very famous I Have a Dream speech. I've stood there. I have a photograph there as a reminder that God still has his hand upon some people's lives. Some of you have a dream. Some of you have a dream. I heard somebody say not too many years ago that, especially for college students, by the way, I'll throw this in free, no charge, every hour, every day you spend dreaming about someone else's dream is a day you've lost dreaming about yours. Remember, God has his hand upon your life. Maybe you think of names like this when you think about the fact that God has his hand upon your life. Maybe from the Hispanic world, God bless our Hispanics, the heavenly language they tell us. Maybe it was like a young hero I met right after I got saved by the name of Nicky Cruz. Maybe it's names from Buenos Aires like Hector Jimenez. Maybe you would know a name from Cuba, the general superintendent in Cuba who saw the Cuba Assemblies of God go from 12,000 members to now over 500,000. His name is Hector Hunter. Maybe you've been a part of and or seen or you know the names of great powerhouses of today like Carlos Anacondia. Yeah. Maybe you know names from televangelists from all kinds of worlds. Maybe they're names like Morris Cirillo or Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or Benny Hinn or Catherine Kuhlman or Oral Roberts or Pat Robertson or David Wilkerson or Dave Yonggit Cho. Maybe it's Jack Hayford or maybe you know names like Brian Houston from Australia or Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham. But I want you to know the hand of God was upon them. There are some that are here today that joined me a few years ago as I had the privilege of being in Shell, Ecuador, in the pre-Amazonic world. And we stood at the base site of missionaries Nate Saint and Jim Elliott. On January the 8th, 1956, five missionaries led by the now well-known Jim Elliott were brutally murdered by the Aucca Indians. Only a few days earlier, those missionaries had first landed their small airplane on a riverbank in this pre-Amazonic region. Their goal was to bring the gospel to the Aucca Indians, the most feared hostile Indian tribes of all South America. No outsider had ever been able to live in the territory. Countless people had been targets of their spears. All the way back to Spanish conquistadors, Catholic priests, even oil drillers of the modern era. Only a dozen years later, or previous, Shell Oil employees, 12 of them were killed by this same tribe. These five young students, your age, at Wheaton Bible College in Chicago, gathered together in a hallway in prayer and committed themselves, believing that the hand of God was upon them. When they graduated, now two or three of them married and a couple with small children, the five brotherhood, if you will, went to the tribes of the Aucca Indians, and they lost that journey. I've had the privilege of standing on that holy ground where they were there that very last day that they got in that airplane and flew into the Amazon and never returned to their wives or children. But today, can I tell you that there's a thriving Pentecostal church in the land of the Aucca Indians, and that the leaders of the land of the church of the Aucca Indians are the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the very Indians who killed Jim Elliott and Nate Saint. Can I tell you, the hand of God was upon them. Was upon them. Maybe it's names like John Knox. Some would say he became the greatest praying preacher the world has ever known. The hand of God was upon him. Maybe it's names like John and Charles Wesley. Their father was the preacher of the Wesley Church in London, England. The Wesley brothers left their dad's pulpit and left their dad's church. They became heathen, if you will. They played bar music in the taverns throughout London. But then they acknowledged, John and Charles Wesley, the hand of God was upon them. And as they were strangely touched by God, they brought the bar music back to their father's church and knew nothing else to do but to take their father's sermons and place it to the music that they played. And now the church has some of the greatest hymns they have ever known because the touch and the hand of God was upon John and Charles Wesley. Don't ever question who you are. Don't ever question who you are. The hand of the Lord is upon you. What would you attempt to do if you knew that you could never fail? The hand of the Lord is upon you. A few weeks ago, we just came through October 31. I don't know if CBC does anything for Halloween or not. I'm not sure that CBC is a Halloween kind of place. A lot of places in the world, you know, they think October 31 is Halloween. We honor Halloween. Can I remind you, though, of something else that happened on October 31? October 31, 1517. Somebody's been studying. October 31, 1517 is that date in history when the Reverend Father Martin Luther, the Catholic priest who loved his church and he loved his people and he loved his God and he loved what he knew and had studied of the Word of God, he had a protest against, at the time, October, if you will, 1517. He decided he had had enough and he protested the Protestant beginnings of movement. He protested the church's choice to begin indulgences. The very word indulgences has some sort of a moral connotation. And the indulgences began by the Pope Leo X so that he could raise money to complete the renovations of the St. Peter's Cathedral, which I've been there on more than one occasion. It's absolutely beautiful. He began indulgences so that people could give money to the church and pray their loved ones out of purgatory. Now, that began October 31, 1517, with Martin Luther climbing the steps of the Wittenberg, Germany church door. It began 15 years earlier when he also found himself very concerned about the issues of chestnuts. You can Google it, we don't have time for it now. But the issues of chestnuts, it's the wrong context to discuss that. And Martin Luther, you should Google it, Martin Luther became very, very concerned with what he saw from the church. 15 years later, the issues of indulgences. He believed the hand of God was upon him, and in the spite of losing it all particularly, he marched the steps of the Wittenberg Cathedral Church door, and he nailed his 95 Theses to the door in protest, and he said the entire way up he was quoting Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, 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 as he pounded his 95 Theses into the door. The hand of God is upon you. Maybe it's names like Spurgeon or D.L. Moody or David Livingston or E. Stanley Jones of India. Maybe it's names of many of our own Assemblies of God missionaries that have changed the world. Names like friends of mine and yours, Dr. David and Beth Grant. Maybe it's names like Bill and Connie McDonald in Ecuador. Maybe it's names like John and Lois Bueno of El Salvador. Maybe it's names from the lands of the Philippines like Gary Denbo. The hand of God. At 4 years old, he remembers male visitors in his home with his mother while his father was at work. At 6 years old, his parents divorced after 25 years of marriage. At 7, he ran into a back room just before his father pulled the trigger of her gun. His father was startled. Said, it'll be okay, son, I'll be out in a minute. Laid the gun down, the little boy ran away. Seven-year-olds don't seem to think about those things, really. And a few minutes later, the father came back out and nothing was ever said again. At 20 years old, he had a radical experience with God in college. At 31 years old, he was ordained. And only 10 years later, he was elected the district superintendent of the Kentucky Assemblies of God. And I don't know. I don't know why the hand of God was upon me, but it is. And I preach to those who will change the next generation. You have your own story, and the hand of God is upon you. If you would, Carrie, take me to the first of the last three slides. I have three very simple points. They taught me that at Asbury Seminary. Professors, faculty, please don't judge my sermon today. You can do it a lot better, I'm sure. Students, do it the way they tell you to do it. Point number one is simply this: the hand of the Lord is upon you. The hand of the Lord is upon you. We must be in the Spirit to see things as I've put there for you as they really are. You've got to have a relationship with the Spirit of the Lord. Do not try to change the world without the presence of God. I heard it in worship a minute ago. You can have a whole lot of things. You know what you really need to change the world in your world, wherever that is and whatever? You just need the presence of God. If you'll find the presence of God, He will come and transform your situation. I'm going to fast forward to the bottom line there for you, though. Helen Keller, she was blind, as you would know. Helen Keller was asked, what is the greatest calamity? She paused just for a moment and she said, to have eyes and not see. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, His church, and have eyes to see deeper than the situation, the environment, or the person standing in front of you. Carrie, take me to the second slide, please. Now, this is worth writing down. I worked really hard for this. Point number two, if it's not wet, it's dry. If it's not wet, it's dry. Bones are dry for the lack of moisture. The oil of the Spirit, church, will moisten the bones. You at CBC to find a spouse? Find him or her in the Spirit. You at CBC to get a degree? Learn the bookwork and also learn that which the Spirit has brought you here to learn. Are you here to complete a degree and go back home and sit down, or are you here to hear from the voice of God? There are many voices. I beg of you. Hunger to hear His. Hunger to hear His. Bones are dry because of the lack of tears. Bones are dry because of the lack of God's word. Bones are dry because of the lack of fasting and prayer. Bones are dry because of the lack of integrity and character and purity and holiness and righteousness. Have high standards. Have high convictions and live by them. I tell my 15-year-old daughter that boys are all bad. When I met my wife in church and said, I'm going to marry that woman, I know the time I need to hurry. I never dreamt. I got saved in college. I could take time to tell you about a roommate that was murdered. I could take time to tell you about all kinds of things. I don't have time today, but I just want you to know I got saved in college. And when I saw this young woman of God with tears streaming down her cheeks, and I said, I'm going to marry that woman. I had no idea that her father was a pastor of a Pentecostal church. I had no idea what God had for my future. I just knew she seemed to have something I didn't have. I had no idea that she had never seen an R-rated movie in her entire life. And from the very first date beyond, we made a vow that we would never see R-rated movies. And I changed my standards. And I live by that still today at 48 years old. Because this world needs standards. Set them high. Young ladies, set them so high, there is no young man at CBC that even ranks up there. If it's wet, if it's not wet, excuse me, it's what? And my last point is this. Worship team, come help me out, and I'll turn it over to you so you can go have lunch. Point number three. So what will cause life? Church, I hope you've enjoyed. I've enjoyed being with you today, the few moments we've got together. God bless each of you. I want to remind you the hand of the Lord is upon you. It's not by accident that you're at CBC. God has His hand on your life. I do believe God is raising up a Timothy generation, and I believe you're going to change the world. So please, begin to pray about what God has for your life. Begin to pray about what He has for you. You will change the world. You will go places and do things you never dreamed imaginable at this moment. When I was your age, I didn't even think I'd ever be in the ministry. And yet here I stand today. Church, remember, His hand's on you. Point number two, remember, if it's not wet, you're dry. And what will bring life back to you? Ezekiel 34:7, say to these bones, hear the word of the Lord, believe what God says about you. Hear the word of the Lord, believe what God says about you. The word of the Lord will bring back life. Verse 5, 6, and 9, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the wind of God, it'll bring life. Verses 6 and 8, the flesh of God, if you will, the covering that God is going to put over you. You get into His presence, He'll put a covering over you. He'll put a covering over you. It'll bring you life. Thus saith the Lord. Don't say God said it unless God said it. I promise you, don't ever do that. Too many people in the pulpit are doing that. God said this, God said that. God didn't say that. If God don't say it, don't say it. No offense, I think I'm allowed because I'm finishing and I'm leaving and Dr. Denbo will have to clean it up. I've met a lot of Pentecostals that are just weird. I don't want them prophesying over me. I don't want them speaking over me. I don't want them somehow hovering over me. If God's got it for me, God will tell me. So if God don't say it, don't say He said it. My last thought for you is this. His promise is over your life. Never forget, the hand of God is upon you, and He knows your name. You are a Timothy generation, and you will change the world. Stand with us, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment before you leave. Father God, I just want to pray a prayer over this vast auditorium today. I thank You for these who merely were looking at colleges and saying, Father, where should I go? Yet, Lord, in Your infinite wisdom, You put Your hand on their life and You brought them to Springfield, Missouri. It's not by accident they are here. Oh, God, I beg of You, fill them with the moisture of Your Spirit. and let them never question your call on their life.
Amen.
I commit it to you in the wonderful name of Jesus, and the church said, amen.